Well, as you grab a seat, grab your Bible, and turn with me to Romans chapter 15. And if you don't have a Bible, you'll find one in a seat back close to you. And if you don't own a Bible, please leave with that one when you leave church today. We'd love for you to leave with a copy of God's Word if you don't already have one. I think for many of us in the room, there's something intriguing about new frontiers. These places that have yet to be established, but where we look and say, something could be built there, something could be established there. When you even study the history of our own country and you look at westward expansion and you read of pioneers and trails, or if you played the Oregon Trail, right, in elementary school, right, there's something alluring, intriguing about a new frontier. Paul was always being, and if you're just joining us and we're studying Romans and it was written by a guy named Paul, Paul was always being called to new frontiers, to gospel frontiers, to see the gospel established in places that it had not yet been established. As Pastor Corey preached so well to us last week, we see of the conviction and the calling on Paul's life and what he writes in Romans 15, verse 20. He says, "And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation." This is Paul's God-given ambition for his life, to gospel frontiers. I want to see the gospel established. I want to see the gospel proclaimed. I want to see the gospel go forth in the places that it has not yet been. And Paul, as we continue in this section of Romans, a section we've given the title, The Gospel and Mission, has a new frontier in view, and it is a frontier by the name of Spain. He wants to get to Spain to see the gospel go forth there, and he's going to write to this church at Rome of how he hopes they can help propel him to the gospel frontier that is Spain. And this progression in Paul's letter makes sense. That as Paul starts the letter by unpacking the beauties of the depths of the doctrines of the gospel and what it means that we now are a people who have been made righteous before God by faith. And as Paul then moves to the practical part of the letter when he begins to talk about that we are now a living sacrifice, that our minds are to be renewed and transformed and we're to live as a living sacrifice, as he's talked about how the gospel then shapes this, like we're gathered in right here, a gospel community, that it's this gospel message which ultimately shapes what we're doing even right now as a church. But then the gospel, once it's drank deeply into a human heart, once someone understands they're now right before a holy God, they're right with their creator through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that gospel message, it propels us. It compels us and propels us to say the lost must hear this. The gospel calls us to the frontier. And so, as we look at Romans 15, verses 22 to the end of the chapter here today, I want us to see four factors for forward movement to gospel frontiers. Four factors in this passage for us to move forward as a church family to gospel frontiers, places where the gospel is unknown or little known. And we get the privileged call and responsibility from God by the Great Commission to be a part of that work. What a privilege. And so here's the main idea for today. Faithful in our current mission fields forward to our gospel frontiers. Faithful in our current mission fields, there's two of these four factors today that are actually going to encourage us before we get out over our skis, so to speak, and are always focused on where we should be going. Two of the factors are going to be about, let's be faithful right here where God has us. But then two of the factors that we're going to see in Paul's heart and what he writes here are going to be about, what then does it look like for us to get forward facing and forward focused to the places where the gospel is unknown or little known, so that we can make the gospel more known, so that the lost can be saved and God can be glorified. So I want to read this section for us, and then I want to pray. And so if you'd stand with me for the reading of God's word, Romans 15, verse 22. This is the word of God. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When, therefore, I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Father, I'm asking and have been asking this week that you might raise up from this passage here today, in our midst, in our congregation, a tithe of people who would go and take their lives to the gospel frontiers. 10% of our congregation who in the coming years might be so stirred by what we have read here in Romans 15 that they say, the Spirit of God constrains me to go, compels me to go. I pray what we read here today of a passionate burden for the gospel frontiers, it would change the way we do our family budgets. It would change the way we spend our time. It would change the way we pray. Because, Lord, we desire to be a people that are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And so, God, meet us, we pray. Holy Spirit, speak. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Four factors for forward movement to gospel frontiers. Here's the first one. Faithfully fulfill your call to your current mission field. Today's sermon's going to be all about God's calling and leading us to new places where the gospel is little known or unknown, and yet I want us to see here that Paul's first focus was to faithfully fulfill what God had entrusted to him first. Verse 22. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. Paul, why haven't you come for a visit yet? And he says there's a reason why he has not come for a visit yet to the church at Rome. And what is that reason? Well, I think the next sentence can help us piece together Paul's reasoning of why he's not yet made his way westward to Rome yet. Verse 23, but now, and here's what he says, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions. I've been hindered up to this point of going westward with the gospel because the Lord had called me to a mission field, and I've been busy being faithful to that current mission field the Lord had called me to. And he says, now there, I've done that. There's no longer any room for work in these region. What region? We'll look back up at verse 19 and what Paul says there, right in the middle of verse 19, right after the dash. He says, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Whoa. Everyone say whoa. Here's that region on a map. What are you doing with your life? Right? Like I read that. I study that. I'm like, what am I doing with my life? But this is what God had called Paul to. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. And he says, from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled my ministry. What does that mean? Does that literally mean Paul personally preached the gospel to every person in that region? No. But what it does mean is he was faithful to go to the strategic cities the Spirit had led him to. He proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ there. Some got saved. Some beat him. A church would be established. That church would now be a gospel outpost to that region. And all throughout this area, churches have begun to be planted. Those churches would continue the ministry of being gospel outposts to that region, and the gospel would go forth. And this is why Paul says, there's no more work for me here. I've been faithful to the mission field that the Lord had called me to. And now I can begin to focus on heading west towards you to a new gospel frontier. But before it's ever about a new gospel frontier, it's first for Paul about being faithful to the current mission field that the Lord had called him to. Where is the current mission field God is asking you to be faithful? And by current mission field, let's define what I mean by that. Where are the lost people God's already put in your life that when we leave church today, God is asking us to be faithful to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I would encourage us to, as we think about current mission fields, to start right in our own living rooms. What does faithfulness to the current mission field of our very own family look like? What does faithfulness to the current mission field of our extended family look like? What does faithfulness to the current mission field of our current friend groups look like? What does faithfulness to the current mission field of our workplace or the classrooms that we sit in? What does faithfulness to our current neighborhood look like? Do you know each one of your neighbors has a soul? I just confess to you, I'm a little embarrassed. I've lost sight of the soul reality of folks a little bit. And the Lord's been bringing me back to the very basics of saying, hey, Brock, will you see that person as a soul? Your neighbors have souls, and those souls will spend an eternity joyfully in the presence of God or woefully separated from him in hell. There is no third road. And so, all of us, like even if the rest of the sermon, you're like, yeah, the rest of the sermon's not for me. Even if that's true, all of us, blood-bought, Spirit-filled, Followers of Jesus Christ have a current mission field that you're walking out into. And if we could take like the two gatherings that we'll gather in here this morning, and if we could plot them out as you all leave here and go back to your homes and workplaces and schools, if we could plot them out across the greater Indianapolis area, oh, how the gospel could go forth as we were just faithful this week with the one coworker or that one neighbor or that one friend at school. I've been so excited to preach this passage for so long to you because I'm a guy who loves the frontier. That's why I'm a church planter. And as I came to that passage this week, totally expecting the Lord to ignite me for the frontiers, within point one, he reminded me of those who live within 1 mile of where Erica and I call home, who have not yet heard the gospel. Let's go be faithful to the current mission fields the Lord's given us. But once we have been faithful, once we have established gospel outposts amongst our neighbors and amongst our classmates and amongst our coworkers and amongst our friends, once those have been established, let's not be surprised when God begins to turn our eyes to gospel frontiers. The Great Commission's a global call, and it's a big world. And so much of it still has not been touched by this glorious message of the gospel. And oh, what God could do if his people just in this room would get captivated by that. Factor number two, fix your gaze on a gospel frontier. Fix your gaze on a place where the gospel is unknown or little known. Where's that for Paul? Verse 24. I hope to see you in passing as I go where? As I go to Spain. Now, this was so kind of, don't you think Paul, like, could have just retired? Like, would anyone have blamed him? And he's like, I have fulfilled my ministry from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, and throw me a retirement party, and I'm good. And I'm going to go. Paul was so compelled by the gospel that he was like, Jesus said, Jerusalem, Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And he's like, I ain't dead, and the gospel ain't to the ends of the earth, to Spain. Can't wait to hang out with this guy in heaven. Like, what? In heaven, Paul is the guy you're going to want to be with. He's like, come on, guys. Let's go over there. We haven't seen that part yet. I don't know if that's theologically accurate at all. So, his eyes are on Spain. That's the gospel frontier. Did he make it? I don't know. Some of you would argue, no, he made it. Clement of Rome, writing in 95 AD, he said this. Paul went to the farthest limits of the West. So that's a tradition. The Muratorian Canon, written in 180 AD, said Paul went from Rome to Spain. So there's some tradition out there that would say Paul made it to Spain. There's no Bible document that tells us, and then Paul got to Spain. So did he make it? I don't know. There's some tradition that would say he may have. But whether he did or he didn't, you see in Paul a burning desire to the gospel frontiers. Oh, and I pray just a little bit. Lord, just give us a little flicker of that fire in here today. Just a flicker. I said it in my prayer, just been praying all week, that God would raise up from our congregation a tithe of people who would go to unreached places. Just 10% of us who in the next couple of years might say, oh my, we're really going to do this. But I want you to notice what Paul says with his eyes on Spain in verse 24. I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain. And then he tells the church at Rome something fairly bold. And to be helped on my journey there by you. Hey, Rome, you're just a layover. Love you, but you're a really strategic and important Great Commission layover. I'm going to come to you, and he says, I hope to enjoy your company at the end there of verse 24. Once I have enjoyed your company for a while, I want to enjoy the fellowship with you. But he's like, if I can, in the gospel, boldly write to you, I want to prepare your hearts that you might be a launching point for me to Spain. I want you to support me in going to Spain. I want you to help me take the gospel to the uttermost. I want you to help me get to the farthest corners of the known West at the time. So Rome, I'm coming with God's help and by God's will, but I want you to know I see you as an intentional layover to continue West, young man. Paul understood, and we must too understand, that partnerships are massive if we're going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You can't do it alone. There are no such things as Great Commission Lone Rangers. Gospel frontiers are pioneered in partnerships. Gospel frontiers are pioneered in partnerships. Some go. I know I pray that you would not quiet the whisper of the Spirit if he's calling you in this place to go. Many stay. Most of you in this room will stay in probably greater central Indiana throughout the course of your life. But whether we go or whether we stay, we all are in this game. Whether we go or whether we stay, we're all in this Great Commission game. We're all burdened for gospel frontiers. We all have a place in the taking of the gospel. This is why we as a church have partnerships in the gospel. This is why we plant churches like Ascend Bible Church in Perry Township. As I'm watching that video, I'm going, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The gospel's having inroads into apartment complexes that would not have happened had we all just stayed here. And this is why we plant churches like Doxa Bible Church in Franklin Township. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing there. And how that gospel outpost will more faithfully take the gospel into Franklin Township than we will from here. This is why in our last elders meeting, we're already talking about, God, where are you asking us to plant next? And oh, I pray when we do that so many of you will go. And take the gospel into places where these new churches are being formed. This is why we send. This is why we send family. This is why we bring up a family like John and Janelle Stump's family a couple weeks ago. And we send them to Germany, where there's a tiny little fraction of those who have heard and believed the gospel compared to living here. And John and Janelle Stump said, we are called by God, and we see how we can go do our life in Germany intentionally to make the gospel known. This is why we send families like the Barretts, who moved to New York City, who went on the trip, who came back, who said, we sense God calling us to Harlem, who then apply for a job doing what he was doing here in New York City for Great Commission intentionality. And I just want to look at this group, like right here, primarily a lot of our young adults, and I just want to say to you, you can go do the vocational reality of what God is calling you to, in a place in this world that is so strategic for the Great Commission and the going forth of the gospel. And if you do that, let me encourage you, it'll be really hard. And you'll probably make less money. And you'll probably really want to come home. And you'll probably be like, why did I ever believe that stinking pastor that one day? And it'll be so worth it when you stand before Jesus. This is why we give. Because gospel frontiers are reached in partnership. Every single year here at Redeemer, we end the year in December with what we call To All Nations Giving, where every single dollar given that month above and beyond December's regular operating expenses go right out the door to our missionaries and our mission partners and the places we want to see the gospel go forth in this world. Last year, we said we believe we need $226,833 to do the mission work that we believe God has called this church to do. You all rallied and raised $373,961 for those. And I'm just praying as we come to another December, oh, that we would just bring our budgets before our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, what would you have us give for the advancement of the gospel into unknown and little known places and to support the mission partners that we have? Gospel frontiers must be reached. And gospel frontiers are reached in partnership. Some by going, many by praying and sending and giving, but all of us in the game. So what gospel frontiers will you fix your eyes on? Where will you begin to pray for these frontiers? If you're like, I don't even know where to begin. So much need in this world, so many unreached. Here's a resource, joshuaproject.net. There's a resource for you. Give you a place to begin as it pertains to unreached people groups in this world that you can begin to pray for. Here's another one, prayercast.com. Start somewhere. But all of us beginning to pray, where will we lay our budgets before the Lord to give to all nations giving coming in December? Oh, that we would give what the Lord has asked us to see the gospel go forth. And where might God be calling you to go to a gospel frontier here today? Where are neighborhoods right here in our own city where the gospel has advanced very smallly that you can go? Where are people groups in our city the Lord might call you to take the gospel? Where are areas of our country that you could move your life to? Maybe do the same exact vocation you're doing here, but with an intentionality of the gospel is less known there. I think of our coasts. And some of you right now are just saying, I will never leave the Midwest for California. I will never leave the Midwest for Boston. Watch out, you just said the dangerous words, I will never. My wife always said, I'll never marry a pastor. Factor one, faithful to our current mission field. Factor two, focus, fixing our gaze on a gospel frontier. Factor three, this gets back to us being faithful where God has us right now. Finish well your current assignment. Finish well your current assignment. Before we ever move to a gospel frontier or begin to focus there, we want to finish well what God's asked of us. Look at how Paul's doing that in verse 25. At present, however, so he's saying, I'm not coming yet. At present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When, therefore, I have completed this, and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessings of Christ. Paul says, I got a job to do first. There's a current assignment I'm on. I'm on a delivery assignment. I'm taking a love gift from the churches in the regions of Macedonia and Achaia, and I'm taking this love gift that they have raised for the poor who are part of the church in Jerusalem. I need to go deliver this gift first, but once I do, Lord willing, I'm coming to you all so you all can launch me to Spain. And so I want to talk to just the few of you in the room who might be sensing a stirring from the Holy Spirit that God would call you to go somewhere other than here, to a different neighborhood, to a different state, to a different country for the purpose of the advancement of the gospel. I'm talking to the few of you. I'm talking to the tithe of you, the 10% of you that we're praying God might raise up to do that. In his preparing, listen to this now, in his preparing you for your next assignment to the gospel frontiers, what current assignment must be finished first and finished well? Paul doesn't say here, I'm so passionate to get to Spain, I'm going to entrust this offering with someone else. You get it back to Jerusalem, I got to get it to Spain. He says, no, there's an assignment I need to be faithful to finish before I turn my eyes westward. So for the 10% of you who are going to leave here, what are the assignments the Lord is asking you to finish well before you go? And now finally, fourth factor, most important. Forge it all by the priority and power of prayer. We want to get our eyes on the gospel frontiers. We want to be faithful to current mission fields. We want to fix our eyes on our gospel frontier. We want to finish well our current assignment. And all of it, and all of it, and all of it, and all of it is prayer. It is prayer. Look at what Paul asks of them in verse 30. He says, if y'all can maybe find some time, squeeze it in, or get around to it. No, what's it say? How's verse 30 start? I appeal to you. I want you to see the intensity of the language Paul's using around the topic of prayer. I appeal to you. And then he appeals to them by some really big things. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit to, and then what's the language he uses? To what? To what? To strive together. To strive together in what? To strive together in getting out of these places where the gospel's not yet going. No, that's part of it. But to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. I appeal to you by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, will you strive with me in prayer? That I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Strive with me in this. I appeal to you, pray, pray. There is no finishing of the current assignment apart from prayer. There is no faithfulness to the present mission field apart from prayer. There is no gospel frontier to be reached apart from prayer. Without prayer, we're toast. We're toast. We have nothing. Nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. 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 You can't get up tomorrow and brush your teeth without him. You can't take the next breath in your lung without him. And Paul's appealing with them to pray and to strive in prayer. Have you ever prayed with someone who prays? You know, like, no. You prayed, and then they prayed, and you opened your eyes and looked at them because their praying was way better than your praying. And I'm not talking about language. I'm talking about a depth of the yearning of the Spirit. You're like, that person's praying. They're praying. Oh, that we would strive in prayer. That we would strive in prayer. For our lost neighbors, for our lost coworkers, for or the parts around our country and our world, that we have to see the gospel go forth, that we would strive in prayer for the gospel frontiers. Faithful in our current mission fields. Forward to our gospel frontiers. Redeemer, would you stand to your feet as I send us out of here with a bit of a benediction today? As we think about faithfulness in our current mission fields, can I just ask, what are you going to do with today? What are you going to do with today? Don't leave it rhetorical. Please do not leave it rhetorical. Don't go to lunch and go watch the Colts and not wrestle with an answer to this question. What are you going to do with today? Will today give you a renewed zeal for the current mission fields in which God's already placed you? Will it? Will today, based on what I've seen in the heart of Paul here in Romans 15, propel the Graham family back to State Road 144 with a greater zeal for our neighbors, or will it not? Will today let you double down in faithfulness on the current assignments the Lord has entrusted to you and asked you to steward? Will it or not? Will it or not? And what about forward to gospel frontiers? Will today give you bold faith, the tithe of you who are called to go? Will you actually go? And let me just tell you right up front, it won't be fun, probably. It'll be really hard. The Lord will call you to live by faith. You won't see how in the world he's going to meet the things you need. You're going to get over there, get to the new neighborhood, the new city, the new country, and you're going to feel alone. And so, like, I'm not trying to sell you on the glamour or emotionalism of, like, go to the frontier. It'll be super hard, and it'll be really worth it. Will this, in all of us, give us a refreshed commitment to prayer? Will it or not? Will it or not? And I'm just going to leave us right there in the awkwardness of that. You are loved and you are sent. We'll see you next Sunday.